No worries at all. It's good to hear your voice. But there's
anybody
else
on the line
yet?
Here too.
Yeah, someone else is. I'm just trying to find out who.
All right, awesome.
Who's there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's Mary.
Oh, that's from
Tulsa.
Hey, Mary.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. Really good.
Cool. Yay, it's so nice to have a couple people on the call. We've had a real quiet and kind of slow summer, and it's been great because there's been a lot of like one-on-one coaching going on, which has been fun, but it's even better to have a group so we can all talk about what's been going on in our world and hopefully get some ideas from each other and just kind of give each other a little support. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Jeremy Didier. I'm one of the coaches here at Impact. I live in Kansas City on the Kansas side. I have 5 kids. I am an adult with ADHD. I have 3 children with ADHD. One also has high-functioning autism. One also has bipolar disorder and Tourette. And then the third child just has, well, the third child just has ADHD so far. And then the oldest and the youngest are diagnosis free up to this point. So my oldest is a sophomore in college and my youngest is 4 years old. We have a little bit of a range there. And I've been with Impact ADHD for about 3 years. So let's go around real quick and have everybody introduce themselves and tell us where you're from. Share a celebration, something fabulous that's happened. It can be just the fact that you made it to this call or, it's really important that we celebrate the little things and the big things and a lot of the little things because sometimes we don't have a whole lot of opportunities to celebrate. So it's always good to look for those things. And then tell us a little bit about the child that brought you to us. So that's a lot. So name, where you're from, celebrate, a little bit about the child that brought you to us. Mary, you want to start?
Like I said, Mary, and I'm from Tulsa. I'm focusing on my daughter who is 9 and has ADHD, and all the stuff that goes with it, probably some learning stuff that we're trying to figure out. I think the celebration would be probably up until Wednesday of this week. We have just been very peaceful and harmonious in our life, even with school starting. So I think that
I love it.
Maybe now it's excitement of school is wearing off. Now we're getting back to the hard stuff, but we had some really good weeks, and so I'm really grateful for that.
Wonderful. 9th grade is that, or 9th grade, sorry, 9 years old is that third
yes.
grade?
4th grade. Yeah, she's a
fourth
young
grade.
4th grader.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, awesome. Thank you. All right. Are you ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right. Where's our other person?
All right, Melanie here. Can you hear me?
There you are, Melanie. Yeah.
All right, so I'm in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and let's see. I've got 2 kids. My 7th grader is happy and no diagnosis. My 3rd grader has ADHD and anxiety, and I'm strongly suspicious that we're running into a lot of problems with working memory as well. So it's probably about time to, get more detailed testing to sort those bits out. I'm celebrating a successful start to the school year. I mean, we got some bumps and hitches, but she loves her new teacher, and her new teacher is phenomenal. And I'm very looking forward to collaborating with her this year.
Oh, isn't that wonderful when you've got a teacher that knows what's going on and is flexible and I love this year.
Yes, okay. Yes, and responsive, and and they've got enough kids with needing extra support in the classroom that they seem to have a full-time aide as well, which is good to have 2 adults in the room, and in her classroom, and I'm really looking forward to working with this teacher. The other thing to celebrate is, we're talking about my 8-year-old, is she's gotten a little bit more insight and clarity. The other day, She figured out for herself and articulated with only a little prompting that she thinks she needs more sleep, and the way to make that happen is to go to bed earlier at night. Now, actually implementing that is different, but, like, I was just blown away that she was able to get to that level of insight.
Make that connection.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, yeah. We have so much to celebrate. That makes me so happy.
I know.
Yay. Phenomenal. Very cool. I am celebrating as well. My 14-year-old is our son with high-functioning autism and ADHD, and he's a freshman in high school. And they had their big, this is their homecoming spirit week. And I didn't, you know, anticipate that he'd want to attend anything because they're loud and there's a lot of people there and it's a lot of confusion. And generally that's the sort of thing that he tries to avoid. But he has put together a really awesome friend group over the past couple of years, and they asked him to stay at the last minute. And he did, which is a big deal to kind of change your plans at the last minute for him. And to have, you know, three or four friends that asked him to stay because they wanted to spend time with him. So every time I think about it, I just get chills because when I think about how long we or how far we've come and how hard we've worked to get to this point, it's pretty phenomenal to see that happen. So that's my big, that's a big celebration in our world anyway. So cool. So we will, let's go back around and go ahead and take aim real quick. And if you are listening to the recording, today is Friday, September 14th, and this is the noon Eastern Time PSS group. And this week we are talking about self-care. And I'm sure we all do an excellent job of self-care, right? But what we're going to do right now is go back around and have everybody give us an idea of what you want to take aim on. And I think you guys are both experts at taking aim. We're trying to focus on the change we want to see, not necessarily a strategy. But something that we want to be different, either in our kids' lives or our lives. And it doesn't necessarily have to relate to the topic this week. Melanie, should we start with you since we started with Mary before?
Sure. So I'm going to make you both laugh. I'm taking aim on mornings.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to narrow that down.
I know. More specifically, my goal is to finish the critical bits of my morning routine by 7 o'clock so that I can be completely focused on Margaret's morning routine after that. It just works better when that and I'm struggling with making that happen right now.
What gets in the way?
The fact that I want to get up before everybody else without disturbing anyone else.
So you're able to get up, but because you're up and moving around, everybody likes that?
So over the summer, it's pretty easy for me to get up earlier than everyone else because I open my eyes and, oh, the sun is up. I know it's morning. In the fall and in the winter, I open my eyes. Is it the middle of the night or is it morning? How do I find out?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing I'm problem solving around in terms of specific strategy of a visual clue that doesn't involve clock reading, because I don't want to wake myself up in the middle of the night to be focused on the time.
Ooh, okay. Okay. And, okay, let's leave that there for a second. Sorry, my brain just went. Came up with all kinds of things. But that's what we're here to do. We're not here to find the solution. Too funny. Mary, what do you want to take aim on?
Well, it's I'm trying to figure out how to say it succinctly. I think
you don't have to be succinct. There's just three of us.
We have plenty of time. I think there's frustration with my daughter who wants to quit things, and me trying to like have enough motivation for both of us. And then first, you know, maybe there's a bit of a correlation to self-care. I think I'm pretty good at self-care, but I do feel sort of, I think that wears me down when I am trying to be what she doesn't have for her, and then I feel resentful about it. So I think that's sort of where I want to pay attention.
So there's a lot there. Can I ask you some clarifying questions to kind of break it down a bit?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the quitting piece, Is it helping mm-hmm. her identify why she wants to quit and what's behind it? Is it helping you be okay with her quitting? Is it better identifying activities that have a lower likelihood of her wanting to quit? What around yeah. there is the goal or is the change that you want to see?
I think some things are you just can't quit. Like you just can't quit school or you can't quit mm-hmm. homework or whatever. One thing mm-hmm. that we're, and I think she understands that school element that she can't just quit school, even though she, you know, might say one day that she wants to. You know, I'll focus in on just like piano. It was something that she wanted to do. It's something she's good at, and she's fine as long as like everything is perfect and interesting and exciting. But if there's a change sure. and there's been some changes kind of in her lesson, and so now she's ready to drop it. And, you know, there's a point where I think that we have to encourage our kids to at least stick out their commitment. Like, I'm okay with mm-hmm. eventually saying this isn't working, but I don't like mm-hmm. the idea of like, oh, you're uncomfortable, so we'll just quit. Like, I want to have a balance of understanding what she needs and that there's a season and sometimes things aren't working. And so it's okay to let it go, but then there's times that we have to push through even when it's not fun and when it's hard. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's making sense, but I think there are moments that I have to hold her accountable, stick with something for at least a while, and to be able mm-hmm. to learn how to push through when things are hard, because I'm trying to avoid getting into the habit of just quitting anything that becomes suddenly less exciting than it used to be.
Yeah, I get it. That's the ADHD brain, right? We love everything.
Right. I just envision, like, we could be doing a different sport or activity every month, and we're never going to make part. I don't want that to become her habit that, oh, it wasn't fun, so now I'm done with it.
Like, gotcha. How do you guys structure that? Like, if she gets into it and she, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I think I just kind of the anything in life, anything and everything, even things we love, are boring and monotonous at times. That's what it's hard to get her to understand. So I'll just say piano. She's done it for 2 years now, and I really, it's one of those things that I see something in her that she doesn't see for in herself. Like, I think she's more of a creative than an intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been told, oh, she picks up music really fast. Like, she's really amazing at how she's, learned how to read music so quickly and all of this. And for a girl who doesn't practice, because that's another thing that is a challenge.
Practice is not fun.
it's amazing how much practice, how much progress she makes without practicing. So I'm like, I really think that this could be a gift.
It's really challenging.
A gift that you have. At the beginning of school, it was like, write words that you identify as, you know, who you are. And so she put things about music. But then it's like uh-huh. she got, her music teacher was a college student, and so she can't teach this semester. And so because that particular teacher's not there, we're going to drop piano because now I don't want to do, you know. And it's that thing like, I see this in you, you see it in yourself, but it became less fun because the person is not there. So that doesn't mean we throw out music.
I feel like
that is reflected. She's nine. And that's reflected in other areas of her life. Like, she'll be good at something, and A, she doesn't think she's good at it because it gets hard. So that in her mind is, well, I must not be good at it because it's hard now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you just moved up a level, you know. I don't want to go on and on. But there's this dilemma.
No, I'm just thinking. Yeah, no, I understand the dilemma, and I think that really all parents share your concerns at some point. You know, like, if we let them quit, if we let them stop doing this, are they going to think that it's okay to quit any time? And are they not going to realize that, you know, sometimes life is hard and you have to work hard to get what you want, that kind of stuff. But I'm wondering if there might be another specific to piano. With the switch in teachers, is there something that might also be going on, maybe with a new teacher, that is something that you could adjust so you could meet both of your goals?
Right. This is hard. So the teacher that she has now is probably more like me. She's a 40-ish-year-old mom. versus the teacher she had was a college student, which is why this college student is so exciting and young and pretty and fun, but she's unreliable because her schedule is constantly changing. So on the one hand, she, my daughter could use consistency of this lady who this is her thing. Like she's going to be there every day. She can teach you and have the consistency of the same teacher every month. But she's not as cool. You know, like she's super sweet and nice and so patient and kind, but she doesn't have the cool factor. So it's like, well, do we just switch, you know, piano students? I don't want to go searching sort of the elusive, like, unicorn of piano classes and instructors, because that can all, it, you know, everything is.
That's a rabbit hole.
We can wear ourselves out just trying to find the perfect thing. And it has right. been perfect at times. And this teacher that she loves could be back in January, you know, so we just don't know.
Okay.
But I the struggle is, you know, then do I have to drag her every day? And it wears on me and it wears on us. And I don't
know.
Well,
that's the balance, right? I mean,
do
that's
I need
the
to
question.
Fix it, or do I just let it be hard for a while?
Well, I can't answer that for you, but
yeah,
I
right.
We can, yeah.
That's not in my mind.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Let's let that kind of sit and percolate for a little bit, and switch over
okay.
to the self care section, because I think. And several things also are coming to mind, and I think what we've both or what we've all decided to take aim on is going to dovetail nicely. I say that every time into what we're going to talk about. It's amazing how it just works out that way. If you have the workbook in front of you, we're on page 15, self-care, putting your oxygen mask on first. If you don't have the workbook in front of you, no big deal. We can work through it, no problem. You know, we hear about this oxygen mask thing so many times. And it's just kind of ever present in self-care for parents and how essential it is that we take care of ourselves. Because if, you know, we don't have anything left to give or left in ourselves, how can we possibly give away, you know, support and love and kindness and respect if we don't show ourselves those things? And Elaine tells this really awesome story about the rubber band. And if you have a rubber band and you stretch it out, and let it go, then it continues to stay flexible and pliable and resilient. It bounces back. But if you stretch the rubber band out and you hold it stretched out for a long time, then it gets dry and brittle and it cracks. And that's just like us, right? You know, if we get so overwhelmed and overcommitted and go, 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 that we don't take the time to get enough sleep or exercise or spend time with our partners or with our kids or whatever we have in our lives that helps us to recharge and recenter and come back to kind of who we are. If we don't do that, then we risk lots of things, right? We risk being cranky parents at a minimum, being short-tempered. But then we're also not modeling good self-care management for our kids either. You know, my daughter that has bipolar disorder and Tourette and ADHD, we know and she knows that she has to take her meds every day. She has to work out every day, and she has to do certain things with respect to food for her to feel good. Otherwise, she's exhausted, she's cranky, she's sad. And so part of her self-care routine isn't even really optional. You know, she has to do these things. Otherwise, her day is a mess. And if she doesn't see me making the effort to take care of myself in terms of exercising, getting enough sleep, taking my medication, spending time with my friends, then she's going to think that it's not that important for her to do either, or that she's not worthy of doing it either. And I think that's a big thing that we have to keep an eye on, particularly with our girls that have ADHD, because I know we've talked before, maybe not in this group, but in other groups, about how ADHD and shame with girls is such a predominant way ADHD manifests in girls' lives in particular, because they take their failures and they turn them back on themselves. And instead of just, oh, that's my ADHD, that's why I forgot that piece, or that's why I forgot that person's name or whatever, they make themselves a bad person. I forgot that person's name and I'm a bad person and I'll never have any friends, and they tend to catastrophize. And so one of the ways that we can help them stay out of that cycle is if you're coming from a place of healthy self-image and just health in general, you know, well-rested, been exercising if that's your thing, or meditating or doing yoga or mindfulness or whatever it is, gotten good sleep, eating well, taking your vitamins and your medicines, then it's easier to face life on life's terms. What's coming up for you guys as I'm kind of throwing that out there? We're going to do the wheel in a second, but how would you rate yourself in terms of your ability to model good self-care and then to actually follow through on self-care for yourselves?
I think generally I do pretty well. Sleep, I have realized, is the key for me, that if I have good rest, that I have, you know, twice as much patience. And this week I got low on my sleep, and so it's been the hardest week we've had in a while. And it's, I'm like, well, is it me or is it her? It could be me. It could be both of us were probably both down on sleep. But for that, I had to give myself permission to, if I didn't sleep as long, as much as I needed to the night before, to take a nap. But I realized that I used to feel guilty about that, but then I would feel more guilty if I was impatient with my family. So I would rather have the guilt of, like, oh, you know, I felt like maybe I was less productive today rather than, you know, I yelled at everybody. Like, that's preferable.
Gotcha.
So I have allowed myself to take naps, and it's made a huge difference. But I exercise and I try and eat well and do, you know, spend time with friends and my husband. I think the part that I have to learn is how to sort of stand up for myself, because I will let myself be everybody's dumping ground. And so I think there's probably some sort of self-care there that I could grow in.
Mm-hmm. Effective boundaries and honoring them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm familiar with that. I think a lot of moms are more people pleasers to some extent. And at the beginning,
well,
when you were talking about
having... Well, it comes with the territory. People just sort of... that's where the save the drama for your mama thing came up, I'm sure, is that everybody does save it for their mama.
Yes, exactly. That's just not fair, is it? I mean, why?
Well,
it's great that our kids are... Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's great that they consider us a safe place, but there's just some days when you'd rather it not be.
You don't want to be anybody's safe place anymore, right?
Right. Find another safe place. And in fairness, that is kind of what parenting is about, you know, regardless of whether you have neurotypical kids or kids with challenges, you know, the goal is for them to live apart, right, and to be independent of us. But until they get there, we have to help them learn how to solve those problems on their own. And that's by allowing them to blow up at us, or, you know, use us as their safety zone.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, I'm celebrating how I'm rocking the self-care thing.
Nice. Tell us
more. You know, I think I'm getting pretty reasonable both about prioritizing self-care and also recognizing when temporarily it needs to take a little bit of a back seat, but in a time limited fashion. Every so often I can go into overdrive and like take a little bit off of the self care to make that happen. But it's, you know, if I've been in overdrive once this week, or if I've been in overdrive for a week during any semester, then, you know, nope. Not going to overschedule myself, you know, I'm going to schedule some down days or just really space it out. But I'm feeling like I've got my support team and I've got my routines in place. And, you know, really that's a discipline that I've been developing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ever since I started this parenting gig. And I think I'm getting to the point where I'm rocking it.
Great. So tell us a little more about how you make that happen, because I think that's unique. I can't think it in the almost four years that I've been doing this, you're the first person who has ever said, I'm totally rocking this.
Well, it helps.
Mary, I know you said I'm doing this.
It helps.
I want to learn more.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Part of the thing is that I kind of turned it into my business. So, like...
Uh-huh.
Anytime I feel like I'm kind of slipping, I like, well, I need to make sure that I'm modeling good self-care for my clients.
Ah, uh-huh.
I need to be making sure that I'm modeling good self-care for my children. And because some, you know, there's always things to tweak. So I like to be, you know, keeping up with what's the research showing us on how to optimize different angles of self-care, and then how can I then, you know, both learn about this more and then model it and put it out there for other people. So I kind of am trying to do the practice what I preach thing and kind of keeping it honest. Mm-hmm. And that includes making sure that I have a robust support network. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's and awesome. This is part of it, you know.
What area would you say is your biggest challenge or the place where you have to say no most often, I guess?
The biggest challenge is limiting the rate of incoming responsibilities. It would be like great to turn into the yes person and, oh yeah, I can take care of that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. have to really honor my no's. No, I can't do that. No, I'm not going to step up and be room parent. I'm not going to be, you know, the 0-1 Girl Scout leader. No, I'm not going to take, you know, that extra subcontracting job. Nope, I'm full this month. You know, I'm booking into October now. You know, just things like that, even though technically there is still white space on my calendar, but I know I'm full. So,
yeah.
Nothing to give. Or,
good for you.
Know, your kid can come over to my house. And can you give my kid a ride to this on that date? You know, a lot of mm-hmm. of working the network and making sure that everybody, you know, shares some of the load.
Yeah, it does take a village.
It does.
That's
take
awesome.
It also takes, I mean, the other thing is the ability to trust and delegate, you know, treat other
yes.
people around you like adults until proven otherwise. And
fair enough.
And, you know, view children as potential sources of help and, you know, just, again, finding the sticking points and taking them to my coach, to my therapist, to my other therapist, to this group.
Yeah.
And knowing, like, in between the touch points of my support professionals, you know, which of my friends can I bug with the crisis of the moment?
Right. Don't wear your network out.
Versa, you know when this particular person has that look on her face that I'm about to be support person, but it's okay because that's the person whose shoulder I cried on the first day of school. So
yeah,
we pass it
True.
Around. And we're intentional
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I would say that this is something that I've been focusing on personally and professionally. Like I said, really ever since I became a parent. So it's been a multi-year process to get to this point. And it is also, how to put it, it is fragile. Like, I can't trust that this is a robust system that, you know, like a challenge of a various sort could throw it for a loop and I would need to regroup and how am I going to put this back together. And there are
gotcha.
Things I'm deliberately not dealing with. You should see my garden. Actually, no, don't. Don't.
No, but I think that's an important point. I mean, I think that, you know, when we talk about self-care, and then there's another wheel that we do, you know, about areas of the home and our environment and the things that bug us and don't bug us and, you know, how we prioritize those things. And there are some things that are okay, you know, okay, at some point I know I have to take care of that, but for now it's not on the top five. And so I applaud that because sometimes it's hard to figure out which ones are going to be the important ones this year. Like you said, it's a balancing act. And
yeah.
If the wind picks up a little too hard in one direction or the other, then you kind of have to write the system.
Yeah. And I use a combination of like rules of thumb and then, you know, if my own internal anxieties are telling me I need to do something about it, then I need to, you know, put that in the hopper to address it. And yeah, so So I don't like the way that everything looks around my house, so I've just acquired a backdrop to use when I'm doing a webcast. So,
perfect.
Can't see past the backdrop. It could be anything on the other side of the backdrop.
Yeah.
Putting a wide open, empty, beautifully decorated room, which is what I'm sure that I'm going to hope everybody else on the other side is assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who cares, right? I mean,
who cares?
They're not there for your backdrop. They're there for the information.
If it's appropriate in the moment to say, hey, I have trouble regulating this too. In fact, I'm talking with one of my buddy organizers on Monday. She wants to pilot test virtual organizing, and I have a pile I haven't dealt with. So, you know,
ooh,
we're mutually assist.
Yeah, I know how that goes. I am fascinated by that. I think that's really cool. That's just my own personal aside there. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. But like, for instance, I did a talk in April on meditation and mindfulness, and ended up in a conversation with somebody who came to that talk about sleep, because I'd had a couple of offhand comments with sleep about that, and that ended up in an invitation to speak to the Institute for Challenging Disorganization's virtual conference, which is coming up in like 2 weeks, and I'm doing a 75-minute presentation on sleep hygiene, which gave me to both pull together things that I've been thinking about for, you know, 15, 20 years, and also go back and see, so what's been published in the last year and a half since I did any serious reading on the topic. And it's just super fun.
Cool. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, the best way to teach something is to know it inside and out. And to walk the walk, right? Because you can't
exactly.
You don't
and then and then walk the walk, and then, you know, to say, all right, so here's the things that I have tried and how it worked or didn't work for me. Your mileage may vary. And then here's what I want to try, and this is on my short list, but it will either rise to the top or it won't, as other causes and conditions permit. And, So, I mean, it's really fun. And then I have that, you know, that virtuous cycle of, you know, having the self-care that lets me be in a place to be the calm center for my complicated kiddo and then my struggling clients, and then to have the support so that when I need to whine about my complicated kiddo and my struggling clients who can't get it together to get enough support for themselves, that I'm doing it in an appropriate fashion.
That's awesome.
But, you know, again, end up in that better self-care and better executive function so that we can be, you know, spiraling upward, you know, pleased with where we are and finding a direction for improvement.
Gotcha. Very cool. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, Mary, with respect to sleep, I'm looking at the wheel. And if, I don't know if you guys have the wheel in front of you. If you don't, our little wheel of self-care has sleep, nutrition, exercise, personal care, physical environment, time management, social life, and sexuality intimacy. I know I have to work hard to make sure I get enough sleep, exercise, spend enough time with my husband, and social life I usually do okay with. Let's see. Physical environment. So that can be anything, right? Sometimes I define it as how clean my house is or how organized my office is, or maybe it's the garden, you know, just kind of, are the things around me adding to my stress or are they helping me be at peace? Besides sleep, Mary, what else on the wheel might be either an area that you do really well in or an area that you want to spend a little more time and attention on?
I think, well, physical environment is probably important to me. I do feel better when my house is, you know, sort of put together. But the problem with that is that I don't live alone. And so that is probably like, you know, if I lived alone, I would be
everything would be right where I left it.
Because it would be exactly the way, you know, I want it. And that's where... That's probably like my biggest out of the wheel. I'm like, oh, I'm probably good at everything, but the physical environment is, and probably because it's the one that I can't completely control.
Control.
And that's where, you know, I can make time for myself and I can, you know, do all these other things. The only other thing is the husband time is that, you know, he's tired, so he's fallen asleep early.
Well, might have been too.
Yeah. So I'm like, should I wake you up? Like, we, you know, but we go, at least we go on date night every week. So I'm like, well, if I didn't talk to you all week, we at least have our date. Yeah. Because if he's asleep every night, then there's no conversation or anything. But, yeah, the physical environment, that's where, like, if I walk and the house is feeling chaotic to me, that's where I start to lose my cool. And if you pair that with being tired, then I am at, like, my worst as a mom.
But you know that.
Those
and
are
I think
two
that's
biggest
awesome.
Sort of triggers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you know that, and keep in mind, you know, this wheel, no one's wheel is ever perfectly circular, you know, on any given day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one little piece of pie may be larger or smaller. And, you know, some days it may look like little square Fred Flintstone wheels. And, you know, it's never. Well, I don't want to say never. I guess very rarely is it a completely perfect circle. There's always one area that, you know, could use a little more attention, or maybe several areas. But again, you know, it's supposed to ebb and flow just like life does. And so when you I think it's amazing that we're able to look at the wheel and be like, yeah, this is the area that I struggle with, and I know that. And when I'm in that situation, I recognize that I'm triggered, and so I do the next right thing, you know, which is, and I was just going to ask you, Mary, what you do when you walk in the house and, you know, things are a disaster and you're tired or stressed out. How do you handle those situations?
I am, I guess, hopefully starting to try and ignore more because, you know, I'm not a neat freak by any means, but I feel more peaceful when things are at least, like, generally look, you know, organized, put together. And I realized for a while, because I used to sort of freak out when the kids would make a big mess in the car. And I think my little boy said something about, like, who is not ADHD, and he makes my life so easy, but he said something like, do you love your car more than me? And that's something that I'm like, for sure not. But I realized that when I walk into a room and I get stressed about what they have done to that room, that I no longer see the kid in the room, that that's where I need to make an adjustment. And so it's interesting that that little comment he made is in my head, you know, do you care more about this room or this house more than you care about me? Obviously not. So am I communicating that? Because they are not always, and especially my ADHD daughter, who I'm like, maybe I should just stay out of her room, because I will walk in her room and start, you know, like, being critical of everything she does. It's because I'm stressed out because her room is out of control, and I've realized that that's not the right time to talk to her, to try and have conversations, because it will always go critical because I feel stressed by her room. We need to talk in a clean room, and it will be a happier conversation. But I mean, so this is, you know, there's some things that I need to remember, because that's something that I cannot entirely control, is that I have I have to learn to put my focus on the right thing, because I'm not going to keep, there's no way I'm going to keep the house the way I would ideally want it to be. So I have to learn to, like, let go and even ignore some things and focus on the right things. And that's probably where the self-care comes in.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was just going to ask where you think that, and I think most moms have it to some extent, that sort of need to control things. Comes from? Does it come from fear? Does it come from something else?
I think your kids, you don't know if it's hard to know if you've done a good job until later. Like, we can only know so much in the moment. Like, I know that we, I am imperfect, they are imperfect, and I'm really hoping that even though we're imperfect, we will get there eventually. Not perfection, but that we will, you know, have a healthy relationship, and I'll have, you know, well-adjusted kids when they leave my house. That's just sort of a guess. But my house, I can know. So I don't. Maybe there was something that the tangibility of knowing that makes me feel like I am successful. Like there's, it's always it's a guess. Like, am I being a successful mom? I can't always judge that, but I can judge if I'm a successful housekeeper. I don't know. There's a bit of like, I just want to know that I'm like being successful in one area, because sometimes it's hard to know if I'm being successful in other ways. And so if I can do that, then at least I have that I'm like, well, at least the house is presentable, even if nothing else is. It's the one thing that I know that I could potentially be successful in right this moment, and I don't have to wait years to find out whether or not I did a good job. I can know that I'm doing a good job right now. Like, the tangibility of having a success, I think, is really important to me. Maybe I just need to add some more hobbies to my life, so it's not all about, like, you know, that's not my only thing that I have a feeling of accomplishment about.
I think the mom thing is, you know, it's hard, you know, and when, I don't know if you work outside the home or if you work part-time or full-time, but if there's, I mean, there's no, like, you know, job review or, you know, yearly look back to see how you did and talk about your raise and compliment you on the good stuff. And, you know, there's no performance evaluation that happens when they tell you you're really doing great in gardening and you did awesome and getting the bathrooms clean. You know, there's you don't get, you know, your bucket filled up usually by, you know, your family. And so you have to find the ways, you know, for the immediate gratification, I guess, find the places where you can get it, you know, and I think that's great that you know that and you're looking for that.
Yeah. It'd be great if my kids at the end of the day are like, you did a great job parenting today, Mom. I feel like a better person. That'd be great.
You know, that's a good point, though. There's something about self-care in that, too, though, really. Because if we're thinking about how we model self-care for our kids and our daughters, and the mother-daughter relationship can be challenging, you know. And I think it's important to say, hey, you know, it makes me feel good when you tell me thank you. Or when you notice that it took me, you know, an extra half hour to get this thing done, and I had like 5 meetings I needed to be in that day, it'd be nice if you, you know, acknowledge that time. And in some cases, aren't necessarily old enough to make that connection yet. But as they get older, there's nothing wrong with kind of pointing out, you're not digging for compliments. You're not specifically saying, hey, tell me I'm great. You're saying, hey, this is what it took to get to this, and I just want to make sure you're aware. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But it's also okay to say it makes me feel good when you acknowledge my contribution or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not the best way to say it. I don't know. Yeah. What are you thinking, Melanie?
Well, let's see. 2 tracks. 1 track is asking permission to make a suggestion, and the other track is, you know, my systems and structures for what I'm taking aim on.
Okay, I'm fine with you making a suggestion if Mary is. Mary?
Yeah.
So as an organizer, I've often noticed that it can really help to have a third party in on a room organizing session. It can be really great to have somebody else come in and help your daughter figure out her room and how she wants it arranged and what she wanted in there within general stuff guidelines. And then another thing is, one of the ways I see my ADHD coming out is I prefer a calm environment, because then that lowers the amount of stuff that's going on inside of my head. Because if I look around and every object at me is screaming a to-do list, that doesn't make for a very peaceful environment in my head. So those are some of the things that were popping up for me around that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important that eventually, like my daughter or anybody else, has to realize, okay, I know that in the moment, because you are highly distracted, you're just going to throw everything on the floor, but then you're going to feel stressed about that later when the walls are closing in on you and you can't breathe in your room because you've just thrown things everywhere. And that's, you know, it's one of those, like, you just have to wait for that moment to come. And I would like to force it to come and just say, don't, you know, if this it's easy to go into the mode of, like, if you would clean this, you would feel better. And that automatically stirs up the rebellious nature, like, I will not.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If you want me to do it, I absolutely will not do
person.
It.
Yeah, and then there's a season of patience, of waiting to see, okay, maybe eventually she may figure that out on her own. And that's when it will really stick, because she's one that wants to learn, you know.
Right.
And I honestly am probably that way too, super independent. I don't want you to tell me. I want to figure it out on my own. So there is a season of patience of waiting for that to happen and trying to just be okay with the fact that just because it's not today doesn't mean it can't be tomorrow.
Yeah, right. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it can also be a conversation about what environments does she feel most calm and peaceful and productive in, and what kind of environment does she want to be surrounded in when she's in different places in your home, and what can you do to facilitate that? And a lot of people with ADHD, we just need to, you know, like, outsource some of that. You know, we're good at other things.
Yeah.
Learn to use our housekeeper and professional organizer and maid service to deal with, you know, with those things, and we'll focus on the stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Yeah.
And thank you for bringing that up, and thank you for suggesting that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple of other pieces too that I always forget to touch on, and that is that perfectionism is a symptom of ADHD that we often forget about. And so there are certainly times when a project, it looks like a lack of motivation, maybe, or an inability to complete a task. But what it really is perfectionism. And whoever, maybe your daughter is saying to herself, I don't have the time to get it organized the way that I want it, or everything folded or sorted, or, you know, color-coded the way that I want it to be. And so I'm not even going to bother starting it, because I know I won't be able to do it to the level that I want to get it done.
Right.
Or my other favorite, hyper-focused on a small part of it, and then you're interrupted, and your sorting project spread all over the place, and then other stuff gets dumped on top of it, and then you're in a world of hurt.
Exactly, because, you know, that's that other piece of ADHD, time management, right? too funny. So true. And what was the other piece I was going to say? Oh, girls in particular with ADHD. Usually we're doing really well in one or two areas, and then there's one area where we're just completely falling apart, and it's often the room. I found in girls in particular, in elementary, really more middle school typically, and even high school, but, like, they're doing great in school, they're doing, you know, maybe great with friends, but their room is a disaster because they just can only do great in so many areas at once, which is fine. And then it's a matter of whatever you're okay with, right, and what your level of acceptance of cleanliness is in that given year or semester.
Yeah.
Okay. Melanie, you were sounding like you were ready to check out.
Well, I'm not checking out per se, but I do have my eye on the clock, as I'm sure you do too. So.
Yeah. No, I meant just in terms of, you know, what our usual standard, you know, five questions and saying what you've come up with along the way in terms of what your action step is and how you're going to set yourself up for success with it.
Yeah. So I've been sort of feeling things out, and I think my next action step, I need to get a light timer out, and I need to put one particular lamp in the living room on a light timer so that it comes off when my getting up in the morning window starts. You know, it turns on when my waking up window starts, and turns off when my waking up window ends, because there's another set of cues that start, you know, everybody else's getting up cascade starts, and I, you know, will know, so that I don't actually have to, you know, if I can see the light on, then I know I can get up, and if the light's not on, then, you know, either there's a power failure or I get to sleep in. Either way, I'm happy.
So do you not have an alarm clock? You just wake up, your body just wakes itself
up? If I have an alarm clock, we have some light sleepers in this house, and it would disturb them. So,
gotcha.
So we don't actually have alarms until, like, the kids are supposed to be getting up. The early morning is my prime. I like to get up and meditate and be undisturbed. So if my alarm disturbs anybody else, then boom, there goes my meditation time. Oh well.
Gotcha.
So I need something that doesn't disturb anyone else. And I've tried a vibrating alarm, and I've tried I've tried a whole bunch of different things, but light cues I think tend to work the best. So
cool.
It's just a matter of positioning it so it's not going to shine into anybody's face and getting.
So what do you need to do to make that happen? Just by the lamp or?
I've got the lamp, but I think I need to move the lamp. Actually.
Okay.
And I need to find the light timer, and I need to actually set this up, and then we run it and see, you know, what issues arise around that, and then troubleshoot, you know, the whole rinse and repeat thing.
Okay. So what's a realistic time frame for it to get done,
the
setting up of the lamp?
A realistic time frame is to get that set up tonight before bed.
Awesome.
Because really the only thing is locating the light timer and actually
perfect.
Moving on it instead of going, I should do that sometime. That's why I'm bringing this. Actually have said to a group of people, I am going to do this, and this is what I'm going to do. It's like you can hold my feet to the fire if I dig around.
Okay, do you want us to hold you accountable? Because we can.
Yes. Ask me how that light thing is working.
I will do that. Awesome. Did you have any ahas during our talk today?
I just been going down the checklist and going, yeah, because I just you just have to keep reminding yourself until it, like, internalizes and naturally happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just keeping it front of mind.
Okay, cool. Awesome, thank you. Mary, what's an action step that you're willing to take?
I think the third-party idea for anything is maybe something to really consider, and that would make me feel like maybe the burden of every, like, decision and motivational speech or whatever else is not all mine. I think my husband is open, but he just sort of is like, you're the parenting expert, and I am the friend. You know, and so he just sort of defers all of that to me, and maybe I need to just, I think he's open, but he's, for him to have a little bit more dialogue so that I don't feel like burdened down by the idea of trying to either fix things or figure everything out on my own. So say, like, if it comes to piano, maybe I need to take a step back and let him work on that for a while. That would maybe be a point of both self-care for me and an aid to, like, the relationship that I have with my daughter, because I don't, you know, sometimes it can be so intense because there's, mm-hmm. you know, I'm the one that helps with homework, and I'm the one that tries to get her to these things that she committed to that now she's maybe not interested in today. and, you know, it does... It's like, well, this is your idea, remember? Like, I have tried to keep your schedule free. You are the one that keeps committing to things. And now I have to get you there when you feel like you'd rather lay on the sofa. And so I do think that I have maybe burdened myself too much with trying to make it all work and make everything happen. And maybe I need to give myself even a break of it, just a couple of days, to say, if you have any questions or concerns, you should talk to Daddy.
Oh, I love that. Oh, my gosh.
Maybe I just need to have a habit of, like, oh, I don't know, maybe we could work out, like, which day do you want to take, dear? Where you try to solve the problems of the world for a while. Like, I'm sorry, Saturday. Saturday is the day that Daddy fixes everything. I don't know. But yeah, so maybe, and it maybe it would be empowering to him too to be like, hey, it's my day, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It would, that would be interesting to see
that.
If we could pull that off. But to just be like, hey,
does that feel
and here's your agenda. You need to, you need to decide on piano this weekend, the two of you, and then let me know.
Well, you can't give her. I feel like if you give him the agenda, then that takes away from letting him
have
it for the
day. Here's some bullet points and things you might want to cover today.
Get
a room.
One more thing.
So how realistic is that?
And homework. Like, I don't know how realistic it is. Like, maybe three, you know, even just to put the idea in his head, like, hey, you know, the next time you're cuddling on the sofa with, you know, our daughter, why don't you ask her how piano's going? You know, and some of it is just, you know, he needs to like, have that idea planted in his head, because he, you know, I always just try and figure that out. And so maybe there's something to that, or I don't, you know, whatever friend or relative that might have a way to talk to her about things in a way that I, that is different for me, that would maybe help her see things from a different perspective instead of just my perspective all the time. So maybe the idea of kind of having, sharing the wealth of some of those.
Well, how realistic how probable is it that you can have this conversation with your husband sometime in the next week about having him?
Well, it's
help
day
out
night,
or have
night
a day.
So I can bring it up.
There you go.
Friday's when I get all everything taken care of, because I have his undivided attention. So, so I could throw that out and say, hey, I am getting overwhelmed and I'm not quite sure what to do in this situation. Will you want to take a stab at it in the next few days if you can come up with something? Maybe that solves a couple things, a couple areas of concern for me. So, yeah, that means it's a week too.
Very cool. So what would you say was your aha or your kind of key takeaway from the day or from the talk today?
I guess it could maybe, you know, there's that of just like, wow, like, why do I feel like I have to do everything? But then also, you know, my house or whatever, maybe I do need to find other things that give me a sense of accomplishment and not just my house, because that's temporary, because I might get it all taken care of and then everybody comes home. It's kind of easily undone. And so maybe I need to find more things for myself, as far as this, just for self-care, more things that give me a sense of accomplishment that sort of stay done.
I like that.
Maybe. Like, a garden is one of those things that lasts a little bit longer than cleaning the house. And I've been really happy with my garden this summer. And to the fall, we're getting ready to, you know, plant the fall stuff. And so that is always like a good thing for
a source
me.
Of, yeah, it fills you up.
Source of pride, and, you know, it lasts a little bit longer.
Wow. Good work today, guys. Thank you so much. Melanie, was there something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I was wondering if I could throw one more suggestion into the ring.
Fine with me.
Yeah, so something that's worked really well for our house around activities is to make a commitment for, like, we're going to commit for 6 weeks, or we're going to commit for 8 weeks, and then we're going to review at the end of that time. So it's not like the kid feels like there's an open-ended commitment, but during that 6 to 8 weeks, we committed. We're doing it. We're pushing through. At 8 weeks, we review. Do you want to keep going? Yes or no? And that is a helpful framework for me.
Yeah. Excellent point. All right, guys. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for everything today.
Yeah. Jeremy, do you have a second to stay on at the end when it's just the two of us?
Okay. Of course. Let me turn the recording off. Mary Kay.